I have a friend who drank her way through college. She turned to alcohol and drugs for fun, for an escape. She was also in doing this following the example that her father had set for her. He was an alcoholic, and then she started down that same road that he had been on for many years, and addiction ended up taking his life, but my friend was able to break free from her addictions after she came to know that Jesus was her Savior. It wasn't easy, though, and anyone who's ever dealt with that sort of addiction, I'm sure, would testify in the same way. It's not like turning off a light switch and suddenly you're all better. But as faith grew in her heart, she found strength to turn away from her addiction and instead to find true joy in worship and in prayer and eventually in ministry in the church. We all know to some degree what it's like to be held captive by something that we can't control. For you, it may not have been drugs or alcohol. But we've all had at least some taste of being held captive by something harmful, something that holds control over us and that we can't just walk away from. During Advent, we're talking about the reasons that Jesus came into the world and who He came for. Last week, we talked about Jesus came for the overwhelmed or for those who carry heavy burdens. And today, it's Jesus came for those in bondage. Jesus came for those who have been held captive, spiritually or emotionally, those who are held in chains of addiction or abuse or other chains that we just can't break on our own. There are lots of things that can hold us in bondage. And Jesus came to set us free. And so this morning we're going to look at a story from Mark's Gospel about Jesus setting a child free from spiritual bondage. This child suffered under demonic possession. And it's a powerful story. It's got vivid and pretty unsettling images. But I don't want us to just focus on the demon possession. That was a particular type of bondage that young person experienced, but I want to think about more broadly different types of bondage that we might experience in our own lives and how Jesus has the power to set us free. So listen to the beginning of this story. This is in Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 14. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to meet Him. "What are you arguing with them about?" He asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him onto the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." We'll read a little more of the story in a couple of minutes here. But I want to share just a bit of background. This story took place just after the Transfiguration. You remember Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and the four of them went up onto a mountainside, and Jesus had this encounter with God, and He was transfigured. His appearance changed, and Peter and James and John witnessed this, and they heard the voice of God, and it was this extraordinary experience. And then the four of them come down from the mountain, and as they get down to the bottom there where the rest of the disciples are, they walk into this scene that we just read the first part of, and it's a scene of confusion and anger and arguing, and Jesus in essence says, "What's going on here? What have I missed?" And you can imagine this poor father who begins to plead with Jesus for help for his son. His son had been possessed by a demon. And as we read on the story, we find out it's been for years. We don't know exactly how old the child is. Maybe he's a teenager at this point. We don't know, but ever since he was a small child, he's been possessed by this demon that has tortured and tormented the child. But you can also imagine how the father must have been tormented as well by this demonic possession of his son. And so the father brought his son to Jesus and to his disciples, hoping that they could help. But with Jesus not there, Jesus up on the mountainside, the other disciples tried and failed to cast out this demon. And so Jesus, as he hears this story, is upset. And it's interesting, he's not upset at first with the crowds who are arguing. He's not upset with the father, of course, or the child. What he's upset about is that his own disciples were not able to deal with this situation. And so he says to them, "How long shall I put up with you?" They couldn't help this boy. They didn't have enough faith. They didn't have enough spiritual power to cast out this demon. Jesus was upset. But the truth is, we understand why the disciples failed. You see, the chains of bondage are often too strong for you to break on your own. They're too strong. Jesus, throughout his ministry, confronted many demons, and he cast them out of people who were otherwise helpless. They couldn't free themselves, but Jesus freed them. And we believe, by the way, that demons are still present in the world today. I don't want to focus only on that because there are lots of forms of bondage that we're going to talk about today. But we do believe that demons are still operative in the world, that they can enter into people's lives, that they can hold souls captive. And we'll talk about that a little bit as we go along. But demon possession is not the only type of spiritual bondage that we might experience or that people that we know and love might experience. Spiritual bondage can be anything harmful. It can be anything that has control over you and that you can't just free yourself from. And so let me share four types of bondage that we might experience in our lives. And I think these are common, maybe unfamiliar in your experience, but as you think about the people that you know, maybe it's your own life or someone that you love, but I think these are the types of bondage, some types of bondage that people that we know do deal with. And the first, of course, is demonic or evil powers. That, again, we believe that demons are real and are active in the world today. And our modern culture, maybe even in our own way of thinking, we want to make excuses and to not think about the work of Satan in the world today. But we do believe, just as Jesus confronted demons, just as they were real all throughout Scripture, we believe that Satan and his forces of evil are still present in the world today. And so demonic possession is one form of bondage that we can think about. Now, I should say this. It's important for us to understand that followers of Jesus Christ are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit has taken up residence in our heart. And so demons can no longer enter into us. And that's a truth that we don't want to lose sight of. And yet at the same time, demons can still influence, can still tempt even followers of Jesus. But we know that that sort of bondage is still a reality in the world. A second form is emotional bondage or psychological bondage. And maybe this will touch a little closer to home with us. There are a lot of people who suffer from debilitating conditions like depression or anxiety or fear. Any uncontrolled emotional or mental, psychological condition that keeps you from living a joyful and healthy life. And again, that you can't just turn off. You can't just walk away from. It's another form of bondage that we might experience. A third type of bondage is abusive relationships. And again, I think this is far more common than maybe we want to admit. When I first entered ministry, I used to be shocked by the stories I would hear. Women, children, even men, held captive in abusive relationships. I've heard so many of these stories now, I'm no longer shocked anymore. Sad to say. It's still heartbreaking, though. People are held captive by fear, by intimidation. They feel like there's nowhere to go, no way out, nowhere that's safe that they can get away from that person who's hurting them. It could be physical abuse. It could be sexual abuse. It could be emotional abuse. And it often goes on for years and years before someone is finally rescued or finds a way out. And, of course, this sort of abuse almost always happens at the hands of someone who is supposed to love you. A fourth type of bondage is addiction. Drugs, alcohol, smoking. We all know about the opioid problem in our nation. It's a terrible epidemic. I mean, it's all over the place in our community and all across the nation. People who are using drugs to take away their pain and then eventually using drugs just because they're addicted to them. And now, of course, more and more states are legalizing marijuana. And people on one side of the argument will say, oh, it's just for fun, it's recreational. That's the word they use now. Despite what that side may tell you, marijuana alters your brain and is addictive, and it does lead to other drug use that is even more damaging and more addictive. Of course, the same is true with alcohol. The same is true with nicotine. You see, addiction is anything unhealthy that you can't stop desiring. And I mentioned a few things that we can be addicted to. There are many others. So these are some forms of bondage that we might experience. My guess is that all of us, to some degree, at some point in our lives, have experienced one of these four. And we certainly know people, family members, friends, we know people who are held in these chains. Jesus' disciples learned that the chains of bondage are often too strong for us to just break. We can't just choose to walk away from those chains. We can't just fix ourselves. We also probably can't just fix someone that we love on our own, in our own strength, because our faith is too little, our strength is too weak, our determination, our willpower is not enough. We can't just break away from those chains, and so we live with them. And people we love live with these chains around their hearts, and we may try to hide it from others, but if we look in the mirror, if we're really honest with ourselves, we know we need help. And we know that people we love need help. The good news is that Jesus came for those in bondage. Jesus came because he wants to set us free. Continuing the story now in verse 20. So they brought him. And when the Spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. You can hear the desperation in the father's words. For years he's watched his son suffer. This demon has held both of them captive in a sense, certainly the child. This unbreakable power that that the Father is helpless to break away. The child, of course, is helpless to save himself. All the Father could do, in fact, is pull the child, pull his own son out of the water, out of the fire, just to save his life. But those chains of bondage remain. And so finally here, he falls before Jesus and he begs, take pity on us and help us. Take pity on us. You don't have to hit rock bottom before you ask for help. But you do need to ask for help. You have to reach that point where you realize, I can't fix myself. I can't break these chains alone. I can't just wish this problem away. And again, it might be that you're thinking of someone else in your life, some family member, a sibling, a parent, a child, and you know that they need help. And at some point, you have to say to Jesus, I need help. Take pity on us. The good news is that if you are in need, when you are in need, you can cry out to Jesus. You see, this is an invitation to pray. Prayer is the most powerful spiritual tool that we have. Whatever bondage you face, however strong those chains are, Jesus is always stronger. And the power of God is unleashed when we pray. And you may not understand that. I don't fully understand it. But in God's ordering of this world, He has allowed His power to be unlocked, to be unleashed when His people pray in the name of Jesus. And so prayer is a powerful tool. And you can pray for yourself when you're in need. I happen to believe, and I think Scripture will back me up on this, that it is even more powerful when someone else prays for you or when you pray for someone else. It's called intercessory prayer. You can ask a friend or someone in the church or maybe the whole church to pray on your behalf, and there is special power that is unleashed when one believer prays on behalf of someone else. And in that sense, we lift up someone beside God, we lift up someone along with Jesus who the Bible tells us is at God's right hand interceding for us. And so we join with Jesus in interceding for someone in need, knowing that God already knows that need. And yet He waits on us to pray. And so we believe there is special power when we pray for those in need, when we pray for ourselves or when we ask someone else to come alongside us and to lift up that need on our behalf. And so we come now to the climax of the story at verse 25. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, He rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, He said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. Only by prayer. Jesus came with power to break the chains of bondage and set you free. Now, I know this passage doesn't sound like a Christmas story. There are no shepherds or manger scenes here. But it does remind us, it teaches us why Jesus came into the world. It teaches us who He came to save. This is why Jesus came. He came because God knows what you face. He knows the needs that you have in your life. God sees the chains that are wrapped around your heart and around your mind and around your body. He sees what you're dealing with, and He doesn't want you to live under that oppression of spiritual bondage. And so he sent Jesus into the world to come for you and for the people that you love, for anyone who's held in bondage. Jesus sees those chains of abuse, those chains of depression or alcohol. He sees those cords of anxiety, of drugs, of evil powers, of whatever it is that's holding you. And Jesus knows that you can't just set yourself free. He knows that you can't fix yourself, but He is ready and willing to come and help you. The disciples asked Jesus when the boy had been set free, why couldn't we help him? Why did we fail to cast out the demon? And Jesus says it could be only done by prayer. You see, so much of what we face, so much of what torments us in life is beyond our ability either to comprehend it or to confront it, certainly beyond our ability simply to cast it out. We don't have that strength in us. We can't. But Jesus does have that power. And so He invites us to pray. He invites us to fall before Him with our needs and to ask Him to break those chains and set us free. And when we do, He will. Because this is one of the reasons that Jesus came into the world. And so we rejoice today that Jesus was born to set the captives free. Let me invite you to bow your heads and we'll give thanks for this good news. Lord, we do give you thanks that Jesus sees our needs and that He came to set us free. Lord, I pray for those here this morning, really for all of us, for all the different ways that we are held in chains, all the ways that we feel oppression and bondage and captivity. Lord, for some of us it's little things, for others it's a burden that is there day after day, year after year. And Lord, I pray that in your power you would break those chains, that you would set us free, that you would cast out those demons that hold us, those forces that surround us, those addictions that we can't break away from ourselves. Lord, I pray for your power to be at work in our lives, that you would set us free and help us to live joyful and hopeful lives and to share that good news with others. Lord, we thank you for your love and we pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.